Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast. Today, we are doing a deep dive into some really encouraging material. It's from Pitcot's Guide, The Compass Within, A Guide to Lasting Self-Esteem. And our mission today is pretty straightforward. We want to give you some real, actionable insights to help you overcome self-doubt and, you know, find a bit more inner peace.
Which is such a necessary conversation, because self-esteem, it can feel like this big, tricky, sort of abstract idea. Mm-hmm. What I love about the Pitcot Guide is how it gives you a real framework. It looks at the actual thought patterns, the things in your environment that are either helping you or holding you back.
Absolutely. And speaking of frameworks, this content, it's drawn directly from the best-selling ebooks on the Pitcot store. Mm-hmm. If you want to download more actionable guides just like this one, you should visit www.pitcot.com/books. There's a ton of great stuff there. And hey, while you're at it, if you haven't already, please subscribe to our channel. Make sure you activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. We do this every single week.
It's a perfect way to, you know, get prepared to make a real change.
Okay, let's unpack this. The core idea in the Pitcot Guide is this really powerful shift in thinking. It says finding inner peace isn't about fixing yourself.
No.
It's about embracing yourself. The whole you.
That's the starting block, isn't it? We waste so much energy trying to be perfect.
Like,
and the guide says, look, the first step is just radical self-awareness. You have to be willing to just watch what's happening in your own head without judging it right away. You can't steer the ship until you know what's making the engine run.
And that observation, it takes us right into the thick of it, really. Section one, the internal roadblocks. It's this strange paradox, right? We all want to feel happy, but the moment we do, we often cut it short. Why is that? Why do we let insecurity just crash the party?
The guide has a great way of putting it. When things feel good, we actually feel vulnerable. Low self-esteem works like this weird protective mechanism. Mm-hmm. The second things feel too good, those sneaky questions pop up to pull us back to what's familiar, back to doubt.
So you laugh and then you immediately think, was that too loud?
Exactly. Or how long is this good feeling going to last? It's just anxiety wearing a mask.
So the idea is that negativity can be really sticky.
It's sticky because it's familiar. Our brains have, you know, these well-worn paths for negative thoughts. We've practiced them for years. What the Pitcot Guide teaches is that you don't fight it by shouting at it. You just, you slow down, you spot it. That's the key. Just seeing the thought is the first step. It creates this tiny little gap between the thought and your reaction.
That pause. That changes everything. If you can see the thought, you can start to question it. You can ask, hey, is this actually useful?
Precisely. And so often those thoughts are just looking for outside validation. I mean, it's natural to want to be appreciated. But the guide points out that when you rely on it, it becomes a kind of crutch. Every time you need someone else's approval to feel good, you're handing over your power.
Your self-worth becomes conditional. It depends on a like on social media or a compliment from your boss, things you can't control.
And that's exhausting. The alternative, and this is so freeing, is to imagine relying only on your own voice. It doesn't mean you ignore feedback, of course, but it means your core value is, well, it's non-negotiable. That inner compass is the only one that matters.
So if we know external validation isn't the answer, we often turn inward. But that can lead to another trap, temporary fixes. Which brings us to section two. Let's talk about the comfort trap.
Yes, the instant gratification. The guide talks about those quick comfort fixes, you know, the cake, the chips.
It's a chocolate.
They give you this little rush, this moment of warmth when things are tough, a little dopamine hit that sort of masks the pain.
But it's so fleeting. And then comes the sugar crash, and usually a whole wave of guilt, which just feeds the exact thing you were trying to escape.
That's the key difference Pitcot wants us to see. The difference between temporary fixes and real comfort. Real comfort is... it's sustainable. It's nourishing. It's doing something that shows you respect yourself. Maybe it's a healthy meal. Maybe it's just a walk. The guide even prompts you, you know, what healthy swap could you try this week? That one small act is a huge vote of confidence for your future self.
Another thing that keeps us stuck is dwelling on the past. The guide calls it pressing replay on a sad song. I love that. We just keep playing the same painful loop.
It uses up so much mental energy, energy that we need for right now. The message in the Pitcot Guide about letting go is so important here. It's not about forgetting what happened. It's about stop using the memory to beat yourself up today. You're just freeing up space in your brain for better things.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because now we move from the internal stuff to maybe the biggest external one. Comparison. The guide is so clear on this. Comparison steals joy. Always. And in our world, with social media, it's a game you just can't win.
You can't, because the math is always rigged against you. You're taking someone else's curated highlight reel.
Their best moments.
Their best moments. Their perfect vacation photos. And you're comparing it to the messy, complicated, behind-the-scenes footage of your own life with all the struggles and doubts.
You're setting yourself up to fail from the start. So,
right.
What's the antidote? How do you fight the joy thief?
You have to celebrate your own uniqueness. I mean, really think about it. Nobody on earth has your exact mix of quirks and talents and stories. That unique combination is your superpower. So you focus on your own path, not staring at someone else's finish line. That's how you build real self-esteem.
And that idea of embracing your own past, that sets us up perfectly for section 3. This is where we shift from just understanding the problem to actually doing something about it. This is the good stuff, the practical tools for building a better environment, both inside and out.
Yes. These are the little actions that start to rewire your brain. And Pitcott has a whole list of them.
The first one goes right back to what we said earlier. Challenging those negative thoughts. Asking, is this really true? It sounds so simple.
It sounds simple, but it's profound. That little bit of skepticism stops you from automatically accepting every negative thing your brain tells you.
And then they're celebrating small wins. The guide even says, making your bed counts. And at first I thought, really? Making my bed?
But it makes so much sense. Self-esteem isn't built on one giant trophy. It's built on a steady stream of small, successful actions. If you start your day by accomplishing the very first task, you're setting a tone of competence. You're proving to yourself you can do things.
It's connecting the micro action to the macro feeling. I get it. The list also says to embrace imperfections because, and I love this quote, perfect is boring anyway.
Perfect is paralyzing. When you let go of trying to be perfect, you free up all this energy you were using to hide your flaws. Then you can actually use that energy to grow and connect with people. And they also really push using a gratitude journal.
To shift your focus fast.
Exactly. It trains your brain to actively look for the good instead of automatically sticking to the bad.
And crucially, they list self-care a walk, a nap is strategic actions, not luxuries. And they call therapy a game changer, which is so important for destigmatizing getting help.
And beyond all the internal work, the guide talks about the power of your environment. It uses that famous line, you're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with.
It sounds like a cliche, but it's true. Energy is contagious. If you're surrounded by people who drain you, all your internal work is going to be an uphill battle.
A constant battle. So the guide gives some actionable steps for your environment. First, start your mornings with affirmations. Speak kindness to yourself before the world gets a chance to speak.
I like that. Be the first voice you hear.
Be the first and kindest voice. Second, get really honest about your relationships. The advice is simple. Stick with people who respect you and walk away from toxic ones. Setting boundaries is a massive act of self-respect.
And third, fill your days with things that actually light you up. Your hobbies, music, helping someone. These things aren't just distractions. They actively push out the negative stuff. And remember, all these amazing strategies come straight from the guides that Pitcott provides. To access more of them and build your own toolkit, just visit www.pitcott.com.
So now we can bring all this together in section 4. What is the actual path to true inner peace? And the Pitcott philosophy is really clear here. Inner peace is not about having a life with no problems.
Right. It's not a storm-free life. It's about finding calm in the middle of storms. It's about being resilient no matter what's happening on the outside.
And the guide sort of breaks that resilience down into, well, we can call them 6 pillars of peace.
Okay, let's go through them. The first one is foundational. Self-awareness.
We started there and we end there. You just have to keep noticing your triggers and your patterns without that immediate judgment. You can't change what you don't see.
Pillar 2 is acceptance. This is a tough one. Letting go of what you can't change.
It is tough, but acceptance isn't giving up. It's just redirecting your energy. You stop wasting it fighting battles you can't win, so you can put all of it into the present moment where you can actually make a difference.
Which leads right into the third pillar, living in the present.
Basically, mindfulness. One breath, one step, one moment at a time. It pulls you out of regret about the past and anxiety about the future. The only place you have any power is right now.
And number 4 is resilience. This is about reframing how we see setbacks.
Yes. Seeing a mistake not as a failure, but as data. It's just a lesson that shows you a better way to do it next time. It shifts you from I failed to, okay, I learned something.
Fifth is a big one. Your support system. peace isn't something you have to find all by yourself.
Not at all. We're social creatures. Building that circle that cheers you on, as the guide says, is non-negotiable. Self-esteem grows in community.
And the last one, number 6, is continuous learning.
Yes. Books, courses, new skills. When you expand your world, you expand your sense of what you're capable of. It proves to you that you can grow.
So what does this all mean? When you pull it all together, the takeaway from Pitcott's guide is just so empowering. Low self-esteem isn't who you are. It's just a chapter. It's not the whole book. And by doing this work, you start to take your power back.
You're finally giving yourself permission to just be yourself, yeah, fully and powerfully.
So here's a thought to leave you with. What's one small step you'll take today toward loving yourself just a little more? This guide is such a fantastic map. To find more information and to get those best-selling guides we talked about, just go to www.pitcott.com/books.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
We really do appreciate you being there with us. And please remember to subscribe to our channel if you haven't already and hit that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button if you love our show. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so more people can find it too. Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.